You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now I have on the phone Labor leader Andrew Little. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, that's very good. So you've just been down in Kaikoura to survey some of the damage that's been done by the earthquake. Can you tell me what it's like down there?
Yeah, I went down on Monday. We looked at the damage to State Highway 1 between kind of Seddon and Kaikoura. And just right along that coastline, it's just incredible the damage that has been done, the amount of earth that has been moved and therefore collapsed various roads and hillsides and cliffs and caused landslides and stuff, and shifted entire stretches of railway right, you know, metres off its tracks and sleepers and things. So huge amount of damage. When we got to Kaikoura, again, you know, this is a town that was cut off, so at that time a lot of the travellers were still there. They were just anxious to know how they were going to get out. The local community really rallying to support them. I have to say the marae down there did a fantastic job. You know, where they kind of pulled together the people and the food and stuff to provide shelter and meals for several hundred people, literally, you know, within hours. I just don't know, but they did. And so everybody was pulling together. There were damaged houses. There were people who needed help, but the community was supporting those people. The next big thing really was what for Kaikoura for the next several months, and it could be even longer than that, while they come to terms with the fact that there's going to be far fewer travellers for a township that's dependent on tourist traffic and tourist travellers. That's going to have a huge impact, and we're going to have to see what the government comes up with in terms of a support package for that.
And so what do you make of the government's response to the disaster so far?
Well, I mean, they've rallied obviously military forces and the gear that they've got to ferry people around. They've got in supplies, they've got in water supplies, they're helping fix the sewage system. So they're doing all the right things. They've been helped by the fact that they had these other warships in town which have sort of been diverted from Auckland and gone down there to help out. A lot of the overseas warships, it's the helicopters on board that have been used to move people around. I mean, even when I was down there on Monday, huge numbers of helicopters whizzing around, you know, picking up people, dropping people off, doing all sorts of things as people were checking out exactly what the extent of the damage was. So I think the real challenge now is going to be the rebuild and the recovery of, you know, things like State Highway 1 and the support to be given to Kaikoura and its community while it gets through what is going to be a pretty difficult period while there's an attempt to return to some sort of normality.
And so a lot of roads have been damaged in the region and affected by landslides. You've suggested when you spoke to One News the other day that perhaps it could be valuable to consider alternate routes rather than rebuild the Kaikoura coastal road. Where do you see these roads being developed given that the area is quite mountainous?
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be the big challenge. What is very clear is that State Highway 1 coastal route is obviously very unstable, and, you know, we're kidding ourselves if we don't think there's going to be more earthquakes and big earthquakes as well. And so we can spend billions and billions of dollars on fixing up and getting that stretch of road back together and being pristine and all ready to go. But if then in 20 years' time we're going to face with billions and billions more dollars to do the same thing again, then perhaps before we embark on that, we should just look and see if there are alternatives. I don't even know if there are, apart from going round, you know, you've got to go to Nelson and down Murchison and go right around the long way. I don't know whether there is an alternative route, you know, in the next valley over type of thing, or whether we are just going to be committed to a big expense to keep that stretch of road going. In terms of other things that we can do, you know, we can look at better coastal shipping to move freight and even people from the North Island to the South, going, you know, going straight down to Christchurch rather than going by that road. That will affect little communities like Blenheim and Ward and Seddon and Kaikoura as well. So we'd have to understand, you know, there would be that impact. But I think before we just barge in and commit ourselves to billions and billions of dollars, let's just think about whether there are long-term alternatives that we need to be thinking about.
And so moving on to how the earthquake has affected students, you're proposing that all students who were affected by Monday's earthquake should be given the option to resit the NCEA exams. And so I'm just wondering, how do you define earthquake-affected students? I mean, I know that sounds kind of like a stupid question, but I just feel like this earthquake has both had direct and indirect effects on a lot of students around the country. So I'm just wondering how you define that.
Sure, I think, I mean, actually the students can decide themselves. So we know that the way it worked is that if schools decided they weren't going to open, and not usually for good reasons, they weren't sure whether the buildings were safe and they didn't want students there in case there were aftershocks that would, you know, frighten them even more. So they just closed. And so those students, they had no choice about whether they were then subject to a derived score. So they were going to do that. Other students, and my son was one of them, his school decided it would open, and so he had to go and sit the exam, but he sat the exam on, you know, probably 3 hours sleep, and having gone through the you know, the experience and the upset of the earthquake and leaving home for a couple of hours and coming back and all that sort of thing. Now, he felt okay about it. He said, listen, if I had the choice, I wouldn't be sitting the exam again. He was good about it. But there'll be a lot of students who know that they performed less well than they would otherwise have done. The whole thing goes back to, I think, NZQA and or the Ministry of Education should have taken the decision at the beginning of Monday, we're not going to do today's exams, we'll postpone them all, and we'll hold them at the end of the exam period, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks away. They didn't do that, but now you've got such inconsistent kind of situations for a whole bunch of students, 13,000 affected, and I think, in fairness, what they should do now is say, right, we will set a comparable exam to be conducted in, you know, say 2 weeks' time, if they can get it up and running in that time. And those students who either didn't get a chance to sit but wanted to, or who sat but felt that they were affected by the earthquakes and let it be their judgment, let them sit that exam and they'll be assessed on that. I don't think it's that difficult to do.
Well, because NZQA's Deputy Chief Executive Christine Kilkelly says the exam development process is quite a huge undertaking and it would be quite difficult to completely redo exams on a large scale, and that students should rather just apply to get a derived grade. Do you not see this as an adequate solution?
No, that will lead to unfairness, the same sort of unfairness that there is now. There are a whole lot of students who had put a lot of effort into the exam because their kind of scores during the year, the internally assessed work, weren't good for whatever reason, and they thought they could do better doing the written exam and lift their grades or their average grade and get a better score. So overall, they missed out that opportunity, and they shouldn't have been put in that position. They didn't need to be. There was, you know, if the right decision had been taken at the right time, it could have been organised differently. Now, I don't think it's too much to ask that even if it does take some effort to put an exam together, of course it does, you know, maybe the price of kind of getting the wrong decision on Monday morning is, okay, so a bit of extra effort has to go in. But for the sake of fairness for these students, because when it comes to NCEA Level 1, that is a crucial set of exams and scores that you get, because it is the entryway into your further education and training, both at high school and beyond. And so we've got to do the best and be the fairest we possibly can for students at that level. And I think more can be done and should be done.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Andrew. We'll talk to you again next week.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.